The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back. You are joining us for a deep, let's say high altitude dive today. We're looking into a true masterpiece, Peter Matthiessen's 1978 book, The Snow Leopard.
Oh, it's an incredible piece of work.
Absolutely legendary, really. And partly because it just refuses to be one thing, you know, it's this intense travelogue, sure, but it's also stunning nature writing. And well, it's one of the most profound spiritual memoirs you'll ever read.
That dual nature is exactly why it still speaks to us so powerfully today, I think. Matthiessen documents this, I mean, this incredible physical journey in the Himalayas.
Right.
But that whole external struggle, it's really a map for an inner transformation.
Mm.
For you listening now in this world of, you know, constant pings and endless goal chasing.
Yeah, the information overload.
Precisely. This book is such a potent antidote. It offers a way to think about finding stillness, about processing really deep grief, and importantly, how to bring together that rational, scientific part of us with our intuitive, spiritual side.
Okay, so let's talk about the person who could even attempt such a thing. Peter Matthiessen, 1927 to 2014, just a towering figure in literature.
He really was.
And he has this genuinely unique distinction, doesn't he? He was a top-tier novelist. I mean, he co-founded the Paris Review. That's huge. And simultaneously, one of the world's most respected nature writers. Like, properly respected in both fields.
Yeah, it's that combination that makes his viewpoint so distinctive. It's like, like three streams converging in one person. First, you've got the rigorous naturalist. His observation skills were just incredibly sharp, describing the environment with almost scientific precision.
Okay, the observer.
Second, he had the soul, the language of a gifted novelist. He could take those hard facts and weave them into this beautiful lyrical narrative that just pulls you in.
So the science and the art. But you mentioned three streams. What's the third? That must be the spiritual angle.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really interesting. By 1973, when he took this trip, he was already a serious student of Zen Buddhism. So everything he sees, the mountains, the animals, the human suffering, his own suffering, it's all filtered through this Buddhist lens. And here's the crucial context, the thing that gives the whole book its pulse. This journey started just months after his wife, Deborah Love, died tragically young from cancer.
Wow. Just months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that loss hangs over everything. It gives the whole trek this raw, almost desperate emotional urgency. He wasn't just some detached observer looking at blue sheep. He was a grieving man, actively searching for solace, for some kind of understanding in literally one of the harshest landscapes on Earth.
That changes everything. It gives the journey such enormous personal stakes. So, okay, lay out the physical journey for us. What is The Snow Leopard about, just on the surface level?
Well, on the surface, it's a chronicle. A detailed account of this incredibly tough two-month, 250-mile trek deep into the Dolpo region of Nepal, way up on the Tibetan Plateau.
Remote doesn't even begin to cover it, I imagine.
Not even close.
No.
And he went with a renowned field biologist, George Schaller, who he just calls GS in the book. Schaller had a very clear scientific goal, study the Himalayan blue sheep, or Baral. And then there was this sort of secondary, more romantic hope. Maybe, just maybe, catch a glimpse of the snow leopard, you know, the ultimate elusive creature.
The ghost cat. But like you said, it quickly goes much deeper than just biology or adventure.
Oh, absolutely. Almost immediately, it becomes this profound spiritual memoir. The external hardships, you know, crossing these 17,000-foot passes in the freezing cold, they become a perfect metaphor for Matthiessen's inner struggle. The whole trek functions as a kind of walking meditation.
A way to process everything.
Exactly. To confront his grief head on. To grapple with his ego, his attachments. And the core idea that starts to emerge is that enlightenment or peace or whatever you want to call it, it isn't really about reaching some final destination. It's about being fully present in each moment of the journey itself.
And how does Schaller, the scientist, fit into this more mystical quest?
Well, that dynamic is fascinating. It's this respectful counterpoint throughout the book. You have Matthiessen looking for meaning, for the spiritual undertones, the intuitive understanding. And then you have Schaller GS, who's focused entirely on the empirical, the data, the observable facts, the scientific method.
Sounds like they could have clashed quite a bit, did they? Or did they find common ground?
It's presented less as a clash and more.
Yeah.
More like two parallel paths toward understanding reality. Matthiessen seems to suggest that actually you need both. You need the rational, analytical approach and the intuitive, holistic way of knowing.
Interesting. So the book argues against separating them.
Yeah, it implies that those neat divisions we make,
Mm.
you know, mind versus body, science versus spirituality, they may be a bit artificial. They might actually limit our view of the whole picture.
Okay, let's walk with them then. The book's structured like a journal, right? Let's
Right.
go through the main parts. Part one, the approach, starting out along the Kali Gandaki River.
Right, so they start in Kathmandu, and straight away, Mathiesen sets up that dual purpose you mentioned. Schaller's got his scientific mission very clear. Mathiesen calls his own goal a small private pilgrimage. He's haunted by thoughts of his wife carrying that grief. So this first part is really about leaving the known world behind. They're trekking through foothills, these incredibly deep gorges. And Mathiesen is constantly reflecting, contrasting his own mind, which is restless, jumping between memories and anxieties, with Schaller's very pragmatic, focused presence. GS is just there, focused on the task. It really grounds the reader emotionally for what's coming. And what's coming is part two, the ascent. This is where they push into the really high country, into Dolpo itself, ancient, remote, desolate land. And suddenly, the physical hardship just ramps up dramatically.
This is where it gets really tough.
Oh, yeah. Altitude sickness becomes a real factor. The cold is intense, the terrain treacherous. And this extreme suffering, Mathiesen finds, actually acts as a kind of purifying force. It physically strips away all the non-essential stuff, the
Yeah.
petty worries, the mental chatter. It forces him into this state of heightened awareness. His journal entries become much more philosophical here. And this is also where they start encountering Tibetan Buddhist culture more deeply. They visit these remote monasteries, Gompas. They hear stories, legends, including about the crystal monastery at Shea.
Ah, Shay, that becomes important, doesn't it?
It becomes the symbolic destination for his inner quest. And the idea of the present moment stops being some nice Zen concept. It becomes absolutely vital for survival. You have to be present on that trail. And non-attachment, that becomes urgent too. The mountains demand you let go of your emotional baggage.
That focus on just surviving, just being present, it leads into part three, the heart of the quest. When they finally reach Shay Gompa, right? This is the core of the book, this extended period at Shay. Schaller is completely immersed in his varal research, watching them, counting them, taking notes. And Mathiesen joins him, observing the wildlife, the blue sheep, these huge lammergeier vultures circling overhead. And he describes it all with that amazing blend you mentioned, the naturalist's sharp eye and the poet's sense of awe.
But the snow leopard itself.
Still nowhere to be seen. And this is where it gets really interesting. The leopard remains unseen, but it becomes this powerful, almost palpable presence. They find its tracks in the fresh snow, its scat marking territory, the remains of a kill.
So it's defined by its absence, in a way.
Exactly. It's like a ghost. And this period of sustained waiting, watching, just sitting in the immense silence of the place that becomes Mathiesen's real, deep meditative practice, he describes moments of incredible clarity, of feeling the sense of oneness with the landscape, and the realization hits him. The leopard, which by now clearly symbolizes enlightenment or peace or grace, it can't be hunted down, it can't be forced, it can only maybe be encountered through patience, through letting go.
Which brings us to the end, part four,
Yeah.
the return, the descent, and trying to integrate everything that happened. Yeah, and here comes the twist, this sort of anti-climax that's actually the real climax. As they're preparing to leave Shea, literally on their final day there, Schaller goes for a quick hike on his own. He comes back and mentions, almost casually, oh, saw a snow leopard up on that ridge.
No, after all that waiting.
Right. Mathiesen was meditating nearby. He missed it entirely.
Oh, that must have been crushing.
You'd think so, but the reaction is completely unexpected. Mathiesen describes feeling acceptance, not disappointment, but this profound sense of acceptance, even a kind of quiet joy. Just knowing the leopard exists, knowing it was there on that mountain at that time, that's enough. The mystery remains intact.
Well.
So he returns fundamentally changed. He found peace, not by achieving the goal, not by capturing the leopard, but by realizing the true point was the journey all along, the transformation it forced him. He walked through his grief in that landscape and came out lighter, different.
That shift from striving to acceptance is just so powerful. Okay, let's try to distill some of these big lessons for us, you know, living our lives today. What are the key themes here?
Well, theme one has to be the paradox of the quest. What Mathiesen shows us so beautifully is that the thing you're aiming for, the object of your quest, is often way less important than who you become while you're searching for it. The goal is almost just the excuse to start walking, you know?
That really makes you think. What's the snow leopard in your own life? That thing you're chasing, the promotion, the perfect relationship, whatever it is. Are you so fixated on getting it that you're missing the actual experience, the lessons happening right now in the process? That's a tough question you make us ask ourselves.
Yeah. And theme two builds on that dynamic we discussed. Science and mysticism as complementary ways of knowing. You've got Schaller with his facts and data, Matthiessen with his intuition and search for meaning. The takeaway isn't that one is right and one is wrong. It's that, well, maybe true wisdom, maybe robust critical thinking, actually involves both. Gathering the evidence and listening to that quieter, intuitive voice, you don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Right, integrating them. Okay, theme three.
Theme three really hits on the elusive present moment, this idea he calls isness. The snow leopard, in its unseen presence, comes to symbolize pure being, just existing, without the baggage of past regrets or future anxieties.
Like the mountains themselves.
Exactly. And Matthiessen learns this state, this isness. It can't be forced. You can't grab it or pin it down. It only arises when the ego, the part of you that's always striving and wanting, steps aside for a moment. And you simply are, fully in the now.
Easier said than done, but profound.
Definitely. And lastly, theme four, I'd say, is how the book presents Zen Buddhism as a practical philosophy, not just abstract ideas. Concepts like impermanence or no self, they aren't just academic for Matthiessen. They become visceral, felt realities. He sees impermanence in the crumbling mountains, feels the limits of self in the physical pain. Spiritual insight, he shows, emerges from fully engaging with life, especially the challenging parts, mindfully, not from floating above it all.
The book is just packed with lines that make you stop and think. We should share a few of those key ideas, the ones that really stick with you.
Absolutely. It's incredibly quotable. Where to start? Maybe with the one where he tries to capture that state of isness he admires in the mountains. He writes something like, "The secret of the mountain is that the mountains simply exist as I do myself. The mountains exist simply which I do not. The mountains are."
That contrast is powerful. The mountains just are, without our human need to constantly narrate and interpret.
Precisely. And then there's that incredible moment after he misses seeing the leopard. Schaller tells him, and Matthiessen's internal response, which later becomes this famous quote, is essentially asking himself, "Have you seen the snow leopard?" "No." "Isn't that wonderful?"
Isn't that wonderful? It completely flips the script on success and failure.
It does. The joy is in the ungraspable nature of it. Mm-hmm. Not seeing it keeps the mystery alive, prevents the experience from just becoming another trophy checked off a list. It keeps the spiritual quest going, in a way.
Yeah, the search continues.
And maybe one more, summing up the goal of mindfulness. He says, "The purpose of meditation practice is not enlightenment. It is to pay attention, even at extraordinary moments, to be of the present, nothing but the present." That just grounds everything. It's not about achieving some mystical state eventually. Mm-hmm. It's about how you pay attention right now.
Okay, so bringing this down from the Himalayas, how do we actually use these ideas when we're not, you know, freezing at 17,000 feet? What are the real life applications for Monday morning?
Well, one direct application is to train, embrace the process over the outcome in our work, or really any project. Instead of just fixating on the end result, the promotion, the launch date, try to consciously focus on the quality of the daily work, the how.
Like, how am I showing up today?
Exactly. Matthiessen suggests that focusing on the how leads to less anxiety and more genuine fulfillment in the moment, because ultimately your life is the journey, not just the arrival points.
That makes sense. And thinking about the grief aspect, it seems like the book offers a framework for navigating loss, doesn't it? It really does. Matthiessen didn't just sit passively with his sorrow. He used extreme physical activity, immersion in nature, and rigorous self-examination through his journal as active ways to process grief, not avoiding it, but engaging with it.
So for us, maybe that translates to finding our own rigorous journey when dealing with hard times. It might not be the Himalayas, but maybe it's long runs or dedicated time hiking or deep journaling. Finding active ways to move through the emotion rather than getting stuck.
Right. Acknowledging the healing is often arduous, but the journey itself can be transformative.
And a third one, maybe simpler, but just as crucial. Finding value in solitude. Matthiessen's moments of clarity came from that immense, profound silence up there. It's a powerful reminder for us to consciously carve out moments of real solitude.
Away from the noise.
Away from the screens, the demands, the notifications, even just 10 minutes a day. To deliberately disconnect from the external chatter and reconnect with that inner voice, allow for deeper reflection. You kind of have to create your own little crystal mountain at home.
I like that. Create your own crystal mountain. For me, reading this again, what really struck home was the profound wisdom in acceptance. That the failure, his failure to see the leopard, became his biggest success. It just turns our usual ideas of achievement completely upside down.
Yeah.
We spend so much energy trying to grasp things, achieve things, capture the leopard, when maybe the real peace comes from letting go, from accepting what is, including the things we can't control or didn't get. It redefines success entirely.
Absolutely. And I think that's the lasting power of the snow leopard. It demonstrates so vividly that the most important journeys we take are always internal ones, and that nature, in its raw, often challenging beauty, is maybe the most powerful catalyst we have for that inner exploration, the search for enlightenment or peace or meaning. It's not some detached, otherworldly thing. It's a profoundly human journey, and it happens right here, grounded on the earth beneath our feet.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.